You're listening to episode 20 of the Talentopoly podcast, where we discuss some of the best links posted on Talentopoly.com each week. I'm Jared Brown.
And I'm Steve Dixon.
And I am Brandon Corbin.
I like to just do an awkward pause after you introduce
yourself. I know, I like that. Thank you very much. makes me feel so good.
Chirp, chirp.
Steven, what are you sipping on tonight?
Okay, so whilst my girlfriend's not in the chat, boyfriend. So whilst my girlfriend's not in the Ustream chat, she is listening, and she won't be happy to know, but I'm drinking some of her what is called Schlur. It's like a fizzy drink.
What's it?
Not alcoholic.
What's basically the flavor on that?
The what? Sorry.
What is the flavor? What's it taste like?
It's rosé. It's kind of like supposed to be like a pretend wine, but it's a non-alcoholic rosé, I've just been told, yeah.
Okay.
Why would you ever drink a non-alcoholic wine?
Because I don't have any wine right now.
Mm. Oh, Two-buck Chuck. Hey, do you guys have Two-buck Chuck in England?
No, but we have. Who gives a beep?
Two-buck Chuck. You can go buy this wine, and it's like $2.99.
Is it still?
It's not that bad.
Do they have to change the name because of inflation?
You know,
to $3, Chuck.
Yeah.
I can imagine this tasting good with like a drop of vodka in it or something.
Yeah.
So the
what are you drinking? What are you drinking?
Yeah, this beer podcast thing that I've been doing every other week is pretty sweet because I get free beer from it, so that makes it totally worth it.
And how can the listeners find that beer podcast?
It's at Indiana Brew House. blogspot.com.
Easy enough to remember.
And the house is HAUS. So okay. We were at this brewery last week called Flat 12, and I think they just opened earlier this year. And they've got some pretty nice beers. I picked up a couple of bullets. I didn't know what a bullet was before last Thursday. So you've got a pint, you've got your growlers that you can buy and have filled up and take home, and then the bullet is somewhere between a pint and a growler. So I got a couple of bullets of their various flavors, and I am drinking an upside-down blonde beer right now from Flat 12 Brewery. That's good.
Funny you mentioned that. I'm eating an upside-down blonde right now.
I totally set you up for that. What That's terrible funny. Wine are you sipping?
Oh, Jesus. This is Sauvignon. So bad. No. This is a Merlot.
Sauvignon.
And this is a Behringer.
Behringer.
Behringer. And it's from 1876. Oh, wait, no. That's when
you
they
sound
started.
Drunk
this is,
you
this is in 2007. And it is god-awful. Every drink, every sip that I've taken, I'm just like, yeah! Every single time. It has not gotten better since I've started. Now, I am about half a bottle through, but it is fucking nasty.
You got to let it breathe. You got to let the really
expensive thing. This thing doesn't breathe. This thing was strangled to death a long time ago.
Dude, what's it called?
Behringer.
Sound drunk when you keep saying that, Behringer.
It's Behringer. it's a Merlot.
All right, what's your rating for it?
A 2.
A 2?
A 2.
Dang, that's the lowest ever.
Awful.
2.
So we're live streaming for the first time.
Woohoo!
It's pretty exciting.
Thanks, Ustream.
I'm stoked.
And I don't know, should we be merciless and do video Ustream in the future?
I think it'd be funny because I am going to show the goat.
I've got a goat as well, so yeah, let's have a goat party.
Yes, I think we should try it at least once. Now people are going to be like, "Oh my god, those guys have faces for radio," and we might never do it again. But we'll find out.
Yeah,
you can talk for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I am the face of Talentopoly. Boom.
Yeah, when you go and you post 15 things at one time.
Steven, you promised an update. Got rid of your iPad last week.
I didn't.
You were going to, right?
No.
You weren't going to.
Kids, this is why you do not do crystal meth.
We have recordings.
We have evidence.
Basically, if you've listened to episode 19, forget about it. Ignore it.
It never happened. But so you were going to get rid of your iPad. You were on your sights set on a Sony tablet.
Wait, yes, you were.
You were going to give, it to your parents.
Yeah, next to me.
Your mom's all bummed out now. She had fantasies of using the iPad, and you're like, oh, never mind. Wink.
Well, we're jumping the gun here. So tell us what happened between the last time that we talked and now.
Okay, so I used Android, and I used the device, and I felt sick, so I just bailed.
What was your biggest actual problem with the tablet? What did you dislike the most?
You know, it's the whole app business. You know, like when you use I kind of realized that, you know, like with Android being fragmented and being on like different tablets and stuff. Really, a developer couldn't design an app that would work good on that screen because you've got like these different types of sizes of screen and all that business. So. Whereas obviously screen with the iPad and the one screen size with the iPhone and iPod Touch. So,
what about the PlayStation integration? You're pretty hot on that.
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I was looking at points that were positive about the tablet and using that as a way to kind of just to try out Android on a tablet. It didn't work out. If I'm honest, it just didn't work out. And I knew it was the I put it down to being an experiment, basically. So,
but did you try the PlayStation games?
Schizophrenia is nothing to be ashamed of, my friend.
Did you try a PlayStation game out on it?
Yeah, I did. It looks bad, and I thought it would be integrated with like the PlayStation Store on the console, but obviously it's not. So. What it did do, having that, using it at least, because obviously I used it in the store and then I took it home with me, it was basically just to kind of confirm that it just isn't suitable for tablet, for a tablet.
Yeah.
For me, yeah. I don't want to sound like, you know, it's not suitable for anybody. If you're an Android fan, you might like it, but for me, it just doesn't compare to the iPad and all that business, so...
Right on.
Well, Arlo, just so you know, our super fan Arlo, and I hope we pronounce his name right, he is now making fun of you in the chat room.
Dude's supposed to LOL.
Yeah, you mean the PlayStation integration wasn't worth it? That's awesome. That's all great. Right. No, you know, I do give you props for talking yourself into it and at least giving it a try.
Right. Because now you can say, I've tried both. And I like the iPad better, which is great.
Exactly. So I'm kind of in a better position to not basically just be an ignorant fanboy of Apple.
No, how long did you use it for?
What I did, I took it home, set everything up on it like I would do if it was, you know, if I was going to be keeping it and all that. And then I was just using it. And so I did use it for a good couple of hours. It wasn't like once or twice or... it just didn't. It just didn't click with me. So,
right on. All right, let's get into some articles, gentlemen.
Yes.
Article number one: Components, Packages, Classes, and Scripts for Rapid Software Development, posted by Chris Brulak. This is a website called binpress.com. It's a marketplace for code snippets, plugins, templates, any type of code you want to sell or give away for free. You can list it on binpress.com. And sell it to people. So, what do you guys think?
I love it. And if you'd like to hear the story of Ben Press, you can head over to adafy.com. That's number 8ify.com. And listen to my interview of Adam Tall, who's the, I think he's the CMO for, he's also a developer. But I think it's killer. I think it's a great marketplace. It's a good interface. It's easy to find stuff. They've got it nicely categorized. It's a great way just to go and you write some stupid little scripts and throw them up there for a couple bucks and see if you can make some money from it. So anything that empowers people to make money from the code they do, I'm totally behind. I love it.
I like the idea of it, but I wonder how much you can really make
That, you know, again, but the fact that you brought this up, right? And this, so I interviewed him right when they launched, that I think that all it really comes down to is the marketplace. So the more people are talking about it, the more money that people are ultimately going to be able to make, you know. So I have a lot of hope for it, because, you know, I thought, maybe no one's ever going to know about it. But now people are obviously starting to talk about it, and it's getting submitted to things. And it actually does have some pretty cool shit that you can get for free. You know, you can go and get some good scripts. So
yeah, it could be a good place just to find your free scripts. What's up,
Steve? I've got one question about this. And that is, obviously, if you buy something on there, what is stopping someone else finding someone who's used a piece of code they bought off there and stealing that code?
No, nothing.
Ethics.
Nothing. Yeah, nothing. Law. I mean, yeah. And that's kind of the you know, yes, they could probably go all crazy and try to do some DRM stuff, but as we all know, those types of controls are bullshit. And it's like, if so, I'm sitting here looking at this platform that I have to build as the CTO, and I'm looking, I'm like, oh my god, I got to build all this, or I can go pay $20 for this entire module that was built for Magento, and have it integrated with it. I could probably go and search around and find a copied version of it, but I might as well just pay the $20. But yeah, there's definitely, I'm kind of glad that they don't have anything like that in place, because you know damn well that would just ruin anything that they try to ultimately do.
So how long has this been around? Did you guys get into that during
your it's probably been a year now.
Okay, well, it's not bad,
but I don't know the exact date.
It's been mentioned on Mashable, the Next Web. It's gotten some publicity. I like this wanted components area where you can actually request components you would pay for and see if anybody wants to provide them. That's kind of cool.
From a designer's perspective, it's well designed. I like it. So it kind of captures my imagination. And it doesn't kind of like fall into like the whole developers can't design kind of thing, if that makes any sense.
Right. Yeah. It's cool.
You know, like you'll have a website that's just basically... It might not be as well designed as this, because for me, I can just look through this and, you know, I might actually even use some of the stuff that's on there. It looks really good.
Yeah.
Kind of like an app store for code, you know, and as over time, the two.
Apparently, our recording ended abruptly about 12 minutes in, unknown to us. Our Ustream listeners heard the whole podcast, but we do not have the complete recording of the podcast. So sorry for it being short this week. But we will be back next week with a regular length podcast.